Only T-Mobile gives you unlimited data with taxes and fees included, so you save hundreds a year. And get two lines for just $100 a month all in with AutoPay. And right now, harness the power of unlimited with a Samsung Galaxy S8. It's the fastest Galaxy ever, so it deserves the fastest and most advanced LTE network. Why wait? Switch today. Only at T-Mobile.
Top 3% of users greater than 30 gigabytes per month may notice reduced speeds. Price includes sales tax.
Log Talk Radio.
Mark, you got caught.
Mark.
Go ahead.
You got to start. Okay, so now we're here. This is Phil. This is Philip. Philly Phil. I'll go with Philly Phil tonight. And I'm here with, I guess, the host of, is this the Billy Real Show? Where is Jeff or Jerry McNulty?
This is not the Billy Real Show. This is for the fans, Phil. This is, you can't work a worker. Don't act like you haven't been here before. Act like you care, Philly.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm a little preoccupied. I'm working on possibly million-dollar deals, but, you know, those things never seem to work out. So a lot going on in the WWE world. Braun Strowman, they came out with his first ever T-shirt today. The only other piece of merchandise that could really be his is that black mask, which was always marked down. But in this case, this new Braun Strowman shirt, very simple shirt, just white print on a black T-shirt. Sells out almost immediately. Won't be available again for another 2 weeks.
Wait, what's it say?
What does it say? Okay, well, I have to bring that up. I don't have all this in front of me right now. But the fact of the matter is, it's sold out that quick. This guy is going to be a huge star. And as long as he does these feats of greatness every week, like toppling over gigantic ambulances or breaking rings, and that was the worst broken ring I've ever seen in my life. You've got some serious, serious potential with this guy. And this shirt says Monster Among Us. It has Braun's face. It's a drawing, though. And on the back, it just says Braun. And in the back is like a mountain. Because he's a mountain of a man. He's Paul Bunyan. And, you know, I think this guy is the next Stone Cold Steve Austin. As long as they do these feats, because that's what they did during the Attitude Era that worked. It wasn't all the salaciousness and all the over-the-topness. Well, it was the over-the-topness, you know, but they would bring in stuff. They'd spend some money to destroy cars or have Zambonis or milk machines or beer machine or beer vehicles, whatever it took, cement trucks. And Braun Strowman, it's now 2017, so they can up the ante with this kind of stuff. This is what people want to see. This is what's going to bring in the ratings. What are your thoughts, Mr. Real?
Well, as I spoke about last week, I said that, you know, because Shooter McNulty was talking about, he was complaining about Roman. And I'm like, dude, don't you get it? This isn't about Roman. This is about Braun. Like, and I also stated, like, you know, that Meltzer had leaked about the WrestleMania main event being Brock and
Roman 1 year out, yeah.
Right, and it's bullshit. It's a work. This is all for Braun. This whole year has been about Braun. It's going to continue to be about Braun. They weave these other characters in and out, like Sami Zayn earlier, and then fucking even now with Roman. But it's really about building Braun as the next big thing.
Well, and those guys like the Sami Zayns, they're very fungible, but they're great, talented performers out there. But, yeah, go on about Braun, because I want to hear more of this theory. Is it a case of the WWE, hey, if we push Roman Reigns really hard, people won't notice that Braun is slowly becoming a popularity?
Exactly, because if they push Braun, okay, the way they push Roman, people will be shitting on Braun. But they're being smart about it. People think, these wrestling fans, they think they're so smart. They think they know Vince McMahon. They think they know his booking, the writers, the Smarco fascist. They think that they know what's going on, and they always get swerved because they don't know what's going on. What they've done is they're a little smarter than regular fans. And so they charge these regular fans money to know the real scoop, which they don't even know. And like Uncle Bruce said about a couple months ago, they guess. They flip coins.
they have some of the information and they fill in the blanks like it's Mad Libs. And, yeah, that makes total sense. They'll have a small little sliver piece of information and they'll sensationalize it to such a point where it's unrecognizable anymore. And that's really how that goes. But I kind of think you speak of these smarco fascists who think they know everything and think what so-and-so has to say is the gospel. I mean, do you think that they are aware to the fact that there's another work that they don't know about that's just for them in the form of Roman Reigns? Like, Roman Reigns isn't of value, that it's not going exactly as planned. He sells his fair share of merchandise, and people pay to see him, to boo him. That is old-school heel heat there.
Oh, no doubt, dude. Listen, of course, it's all old-school heat. But they don't want to alienate the fan, the small children and the families. Like, people go, well, why don't he turn heel? Frankly, he's booked as a heel, Roman. But his character doesn't do heel things, because if he did, it would affect his merchandise. And at the end of the day, it's all about money. It's called the business. So, like, in order to make a profitable wrestling business, you need to appeal to the children and the families. And that's what they're doing. So while they're building Braun as a babyface, they're still selling Roman Reigns t-shirts. People go, oh, well, at the house show, he gets cheered. Yeah, because at the house show, there's more young fans and families. Whereas on TVs, it's a bro fest. It's a bunch of your boys going, you know, on a Monday night to get out and chug a couple. But, like,
it's a school night is what you're trying to say.
Right.
Thank
you, Phil.
Night.
Thank you, Philly Phil.
Look who you're going to draw, people who don't have to get up the next day to go to work. That's who you're going to draw. How they afford a ticket, I don't know. But this is a good topic. I want to stay on it. I have a few more things to say. Because if you're out there thinking that you're rebellious by posting on message boards to try to detract Roman Reigns, or to go to these shows and boo Roman Reigns to try to disrupt everything, well, are you really being rebellious, or are you just going with the pack? I'm going to say,
I mean,
you're just going with the pack. And if you're that kid in the second or third grade that can wear a Roman Reigns shirt to school, you're the one that's rebellious, because you know what? You might get bullied. You might get teased for that, but you stand up for yourself because you're wearing a Roman Reigns shirt. I hate to say it, but if you're wearing a Mauro Ranallo shirt, then you're not going to be able to stand up for yourself in the same way. It's two different coins.
Nor are you going to get pussy.
not even size of coins, but two different coins completely with a different value upon it. And that's not to cast aspersions upon Mauro Ranallo. I'm glad that he's found work again and he seems to be happy again. And it was a big mess, in all honesty. But I
was it really, though?
Whoa,
hold on. Was it really that big of a mess?
It was a bigger mess than it had to be. It didn't have to get that kind
of
attention.
Yeah, but where was it a mess at, dude? The internet? Come on. It's not like Good Morning America was talking about it.
Okay,
CNN didn't talk about it. It wasn't a mess. It was
Fox Sports talked about it. There was a lot of medium-sized to getting on bigger.
No, I'm talking about big.
I'm talking about
big boys, NBC News.
No,
you know why? Because it's the workplace.
It's the workplace.
It happens. God forbid. It just so happens that it was a 6'8" cowboy that was quote-unquote bullying. And by the way, grow up. Get over it. All these nerds at home, and I'm not trying to go on a Vince Russo rant, trust me, I'm not, but a lot of these nerds at home, they just want something to bitch about, you know, like, as if removing JBL is making such a statement. Like, if you read or heard about Justin Roberts' book, it's not just JBL, it's the mentality of the whole company. What, are you going to fire the whole company? So it's like, whatever, like, hey, if you don't like it, work somewhere else. Go to TNA.
Well, not only that, I'm trying to figure out what in this particular case JBL did that was so egregious, and nobody can come up with a satisfying answer for me.
None. All he said was, like, Mauro was fumbling, and he said something like, that's the Todd Phillips fan. You see the Todd Phillips fan line growing. That's all he said. Like, God forbid,
well,
it's not the end of the
world. It's important tomorrow to be Morrow and to have a certain image, you know, and he got a little bit triggered by the situation.
Well, look, dude, he put, all right, look, let me tell you something, Phil. It's like if you were voted, like everyone knows your shoot job is you deliver.
No.
Your shoot job is you work at. Listen, you work at Toys R Us. Like, stop. Let me fucking talk. You work at Toys R Us.
About my life.
No, listen. Everyone knows that you work at Toys R Us. My point is that if Kitty City, okay, put out a newsletter saying that you were the best overnight stock man, would you put it out over on your Twitter? Because Kitty City has talked a whole lot of shit on Toys R Us over the years. And Dave Meltzer has talked a whole lot of shit on WWE over the years, exposing a lot of shit, talking about, like, some things that should have been left in the dark. And in turn, fucking Morrow, like, put over Meltzer, and Meltzer's, like, it's, for, like, forbidden, even in 2017. He should have known better, and he shouldn't have posted it, and to expect that he wasn't going to get ribbed by doing that. Come on. I mean, you saw that that AJ Lee got ribbed for putting the day that she won one of her belts. Knowing that it's a work, people made fun of it, and JBL made fun of it on the air. So if she did that, and that was promoting the company, what did he expect promoting a third party who sometimes buries the company and their employees? Well, I mean, did he expect something good was going to come out of it? So, honestly, you know, look, I feel bad the guy has mental illness. I feel bad for all his, like, personal hardships and all that. But, I mean, you got to have an understanding that, you know, you were going to get ribbed for doing that. Come on.
I think you're about right. I mean, if you can't – don't start, none won't be none. Like, he kind of did start with the situation, and he couldn't take the backlash. And I don't think – JBL went over the line or anywhere close to it at any point. Maybe he has in the past with other people. That's not my concern. But the one true winner in all of this would be Justin Roberts' book.
Definitely, dude. The timing, they say everything in life is about timing. And, you know, that cat made some extra dollars. I'm sure he isn't I'm sure when he cashes them checks, he's not crying about his passport. I mean, God, the kid probably, hopefully, owns his own house by now.
I would think so. It's tough with books these days, but, I mean, with that kind of publicity, and he should be happy for any media that covered it because a lot of them were mentioning him. But speaking of Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, it looks like this match, they're going to have a payback. There's some rumors it's going to be an ambulance match, which would be a pretty interesting poetic justice. It would be appropriate for what's gone on and gone down in this current feud.
So what? It's like a stretcher match, but you got to put the guy in the ambulance? I mean, it's been done before, right?
It has been done before. It's the same idea, but it's basically you're not pinning or submitting somebody, and it has this extra street fight, no disqualification, no count out kind of rules. You're going to get a wild brawl. Well, with some big spots and some big bumps. And that's all you can really ask because, I mean, you look at the improvement of Braun Strowman and you finally get to see what he can do. Like, he can wrestle. Those matches he's had with the Big Show, unbelievable. Like, he didn't have to break the ring. He was doing arm drags. He was doing drop kicks. He was doing them very well. He was moving like a cruiserweight, Bill.
We have right now we're bringing on our first guest.
Do you know who it is?
Here comes, it's not Kevin, it's not that jabroon, it's Shooter McNulty. Shooter, are you on the line? Shooter. Well, I don't know how to work this fucking
thing. Well, I want to ask him why I have to be here for this, because you and him were going to do a podcast together. Like, what went down with Shooter?
Shooter's fine, dude. I had to talk to my old compadre. Shooter, you there? Shooter Mac. Look at this. It's telling me I have to screen my calls. oh, my Lord. I'm trying to put the guy's mic on.
You go and screen it. And
hey, Shooter, are you there?
News in the meantime.
Shooter McNulty.
Yeah, buddy. You got me yet?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Not enough's going on.
There's going to be some smackers. We were just talking about the numerous things. did you watch Raw or SmackDown this week?
No, I didn't see anything. And yeah, I heard a little what was going on. Big Show, he could work like a big man, but in the immortal words of Kevin Nash, what are you supposed to do? Drop kick Sunset Flip for a 7 foot tall? You don't do that shit. You work big. And I don't know.
Well,
some of these rookies, a few things you got working big, Bill.
Now, Phil had asked me why you were not on this week in the top of the hour. Jerry has an idea that he's going to do a wrestling podcast, but he's not going to watch wrestling. I don't understand the concept of it.
Yeah, why don't you watch, man? I mean, it's been pretty good as of recent. For a long time, it's gotten dramatically better in the past couple of years.
Hey, I'm not down on it. I wait for the big splashes, the big things that happen. That's what I'm waiting for. Do I catch the little clips?
So you're talking about
highlights. I'm more of a YouTube highlight viewer. So if you want to get to the highlight of the big guys throwing the ring down,
now
that's the things I catch. That's the things I catch my eye.
Okay, so you're not seeing the arm drags and the drop kicks because Kevin Nash, he set you straight that it's just about the big. But I want to understand, like, how are you going to understand the in-ring psychology and the storylines if you're just watching GIFs or GIFs or whatever the kids are calling them these days?
The memes. No,
they're not memes. They're animations. They're brief little clips. Snaps, vines,
blurbs.
GIFs. You're talking about text. Memes is an image. Blurbs are text. And sometimes memes usually do contain text, but it's part of the image. Now, a GIF or a GIF or a little video, those kind of things. An AVI, just a brief.
All right, Jesus, what is this fucking, what are you, Mike Manna? What are you doing with this tech podcast?
Fucking Rain Man over here.
So listen, Phil, what did we miss? What did Jerry miss on Raw this week?
That's right. Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
This is good. I'll run through the results quickly, and you guys can stop me if you want to expound. So, Raw general manager confronted.
You know what I want to talk about though? There was an excellent match on Raw this week, man, and Phil, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Jeff Hardy and Cesaro. Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jeff Hardy having something to prove, showing he can still get it done, and Cesaro finally getting a shot to be in a match, a singles match, with somebody he hasn't been in there with before, and a chance to really let himself shine in that kind of position. I think they both rose to the occasion.
Dude, it was an awesome match. I think what they have, like 12 minutes?
Bill, I think the amount of time they went was great. Yeah, but the exclamation point was actually somebody went over. Like, actually, Jeff Hardy beat him on a Swanton Bomb, which was, like, refreshing. Like, okay, a guy from the outside hasn't been around. We're establishing him as a bigger star than the guy that's already been here.
You got to also understand they're built into a tag. It's a tag team program, so you can lose a singles match if it's a tag team program.
And the respect shown at the end of the match, I mean, that's a touch that we really haven't been seeing a whole lot. Maybe a little here and there at NXT, but on the main roster, to have guys kind of feeling each other around, shaking each other's hand, and that mutual respect being there, I really like what's going on. Some of the revival does that too, but and with the heelish type of way. But it was nice that it felt sporting out there. Like, them guys went out, put on a great performance, and there was an acquiesce to a bigger name, like, hey, you know what? You guys really have our number, and we have you. You know what I mean? There was a respect for it, rather than, we should have got him, or we're the heels. We should have, tried to. There was no trying to cheat, actually, if you notice, from the heels.
They're both babyface teams, and it made sense.
Yeah.
Now, Phil, what happened with Alexa Bliss this week?
James, a babyface.
She was in a fatal four-way with three other women, Sasha Banks, Nia Jax, and Mickie James. And she became the number one contender to the Raw Women's Championship. I'm going to go out and – well, no, you can comment on that before I say what I have to say.
Listen, I expect it. You know, when they traded when they traded her for Charlotte, it helped both companies because they're both top heels, and they both had almost worked. They both had wrestled every women in the division. So to switch them was a very smart move. It's going to pay off for both talents. And what we should see both talents in the upcoming their respective pay-per-views vying for that title.
So
yeah, absolutely. But
actually, I was going to say, wouldn't you guys like to see them go against each other yet, or maybe they're holding out on that, or is it just two heels that they don't want to lose the heat on either?
I mean, they both have the same spot, which is top lead female heel. And so you have to keep them divided. To put them together really wouldn't do anything for them. They're heels. Mm. So their job is to get the baby faces over. And they both do a great job of it. They're both the best at it in both brands. So that's why they keep them separated. And what was up with the ring falling apart on Raw? What was that?
You're asking?
I'm asking both, whatever one of you want to.
Well, we already talked about it. I mean, I still have some things to say about
it. No, I mean, I don't know what. No, I didn't see it, so explain.
Oh, well, you missed
it.
Yeah,
a superplex, right? Since you saw the GIF, Jerry, you could tell us. But it was a superplex from the top rope.
Yeah,
right?
I would say at the top of the match they came out really hot. And two big guys like that, you know, Big Show's been in better shape. I mean, he hasn't really looked as good. Since I think you guys were talking about when he was younger and he was doing, you know, the top rope drop kick and, you know, and stuff like that, but back in WCW. But when they came out hot, like, it seemed like almost they were kind of blown up a little when they went for a spot the first time. Phil, you've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. And when they finally got it, it really didn't come off, like, clean. I mean, it was kind of from the middle rope, and they're just so big that it was going to kind of look, you know, a little janky. Up here, two big guys up here on the top rope like that. But, I mean, did it look a little forced? I mean, hell, when you seen the ref take the bump outside, Bill, did it look like it was a real clean setup? I mean, did it look, you know, I don't want to use the word.
He looked like he was sucked into a vortex from my angle, the way I had seen it. That ref, that's what it looked like. He just, the velocity that he was moving, like he fell. He took like a bump, and then all of a sudden he's just getting sucked. He's just getting sucked into the bowels of hell. You just see it so it snaps so fast, faster than the speed of light.
Who was in the ring?
It was Show, Braun, and then the ref, and as soon as that ring collapsed, and you could, the poles went in more than they ever did, the ring collapsed, the ref just goes flying where the apron is. Like, he could have been crushed and killed. The ref was in the most danger, so superplex from the top. I think Braun might have did it to Show, and ring collapses. Braun gets up pretty soon after this. He's able to stand up, standing strong. And the ref's still out.
The ring
almost tending to the ref. And the Big Show's in bad shape as well. So it was this feat of greatness. And they're going to have to come up with one of these every single week if they want to keep this momentum going.
And that was it for Raw. What are the highlights from SmackDown?
Well, it's not really for Raw, but that's everything. You know, Samoa Joe just destroyed Chris Jericho pretty early on.
Yeah, I'm not here. I'm not here to talk about highlights. Not low lights.
You can talk to Jerry because he watches the gym.
No, I just want to talk. Now I want to move on to SmackDown. We're on a limited time here, and it's not like the old days where we can go an hour and a half. So what were the highlights on SmackDown?
Well, they had the six pack challenge for the number one contendership to the WWE Championship, and this is controversial.
So Shinder Mahal is hanging around. All right. Our guy comes out, Randy Orton.
Mojo
Rawley.
Yeah,
before I give you this RKO, let me just cut a promo on Bray Wyatt and totally make your six-pack sale one look like the dick meat that it really is. It means nothing. It means a bird in hand's worth doing the bush because he was getting beat in 4 minutes and Bray Wyatt's going to come out and it's going to be a big smile at the end of their match. It's not going to mean dick. So I don't even understand why they would have that slop on TV just for it to mean nothing. See, that's where I get aggravated sometimes. It's got to mean
people
something.
People are talking about Jinder Mahal. right now. Now
no,
people were shocked when Jinder Mahal had won.
He definitely improved.
Wait. Jinder Mahal won.
He won.
Yeah,
he
won.
You know what? Good
for
him. Let me tell you something. Why? Listen, here's the thing. Good for him. Good for Jinder Mahal. He's been toiling as a jobber for years. Mm. So finally, he leaves the company. He comes back in phenomenal shape. Of course, you got the marks like Brian Alvarez saying he's on steroids, which he's not. He fucking comes out. He's just killing himself with nutrition and diet. He looks fucking great. How about that match last week when, you know, he's in the ring with Finn Balor? And if you would have stopped it and brought us back to 1985 and you would have said, hey, which one's the jobber and which one's the star?
Hmm.
You would have been like, Jinder Mahal's the star, and look at this jobber, Finn Balor. Because look at them both.
Now, let's see. Randy Orton's the champ now. It's assuming that Bray Wyatt can't beat him in the House of Horrors match at Payback, then which of these other five people that lost the match would be better than Jinder Mahal to challenge Randy Orton? I'll go through them. If one of them hits you that you think would be a better challenger, just let me know. Sami Zayn, who just got there. Dolph Ziggler, who's had numerous title shots. Luke Harper.
And he's already getting his, duel with
Eric Rowan and Mojo Rawley.
Okay.
Those were the guys in the six-pack that were Jinder. So you would have said Dolph.
Yeah, I would have said Dolph, but Dolph's entering in the program with Shinsuke Nakamura. So then I would just –
They had a match after SmackDown, Dolph and Shinsuke, for the crowd that was there. Shinsuke gets the victory. So, yeah, you'd be on point with that.
So, okay, I guess that'll be a main event on SmackDown, being that the Payback pay-per-view is already set. So you got
That could be for Backlash, but let me throw out this scenario. I hate to take up too much time, but let's say Bray Wyatt does win the title in the House of Horrors match.
Mm-hmm.
Then Randy ports his rematch to SmackDown, which would be Backlash. So therefore, Jinder's out of a title shot, and he's upset. So now he has a story arc.
That could work, but as I was just saying earlier, they don't do things that make sense right now. I mean, why make Jinder Mahal even freaking win this thing if you're just going to pull the rug out from under him and give him a nothing match?
Because Jerry, like I said to you last week, they have 5 hours of live run television every week, dude. They need content, so they need to build matches, even if they're not on paper significant matches.
No, but I want to say, people are talking about Jinder Mahal right now. A lot of people are behind him. It seems the internet itself is split against Jinder Mahal. 1 week ago, nobody was talking about Jinder. Well, I should say 2 weeks ago, nobody was talking about Jinder Mahal because he was being built up to a degree. And now everyone is talking about Jinder Mahal. Whether it's Fish or Fowl, they are talking about Jinder Mahal right now. That's not a bad thing, even if the title shot gets taken away. I don't really agree with Jerry the Shooter's point that they don't do anything that makes sense.
Well, Jerry's
well,
green still. I mean, Jerry's still very green to the business, as you can tell by looking at your footwear, as it's got scoff marks all over it because he fucking walks all over everybody on the radio.
So is this what happens. Jerry, he watches GIFs, and he can't piece it together because he didn't see the whole thing. So he says it doesn't make sense. That's what I'm taking from it, but you have a chance to explain yourself.
Make Mojo roll again. And then you got him jobbing to fucking.
So.
Whenever Gronkowski's there, Mojo wins. That's how it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, thank you, Jerry, for coming on. We'll have Jerry on every episode from quarter after to 1 minute till the end of the show. So, Phil, what do you think? You enjoyed coming back to this condensed 30-minute version? I mean, it's a lot better, right?
Well, you know, this is what I want, and we didn't, you know what I mean? We didn't like, do a boring hit every point, hit give all the results. Like, if somebody wanted the results, they could have them in 30 seconds by going to.
Yeah, I mean, why be formulaic when we could be short to the point and entertaining? Speaking of, I want to give a shout-out to Raven. I'm really digging the Raven Effect podcast, especially
when he has Billy Corgan on. Billy Corgan, if you haven't heard, is one of the most interesting cats in on podcasting today. But, yeah, man, so, look, me, you, Shooter McNulty, we're going to get together. We're going to go to the headquarters, or as you like to call it, the war room.
The war room, yeah.
Where we will be getting the latest odds, trends, and maybe even giving a few picks out like we did at WrestleMania. While you were at WrestleMania, I was giving free picks out. We gave out 10 successful picks, which is nothing to shake a stick at. But you can visit betwrestling.com, once again, betwrestling.com, to get all the latest odds for the upcoming pay-per-views. And we'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy your week.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Only T-Mobile gives you unlimited data with taxes and fees included, so you save hundreds a year. And get two lines for just $100 a month all in with AutoPay. And right now, harness the power of unlimited with a Samsung Galaxy S8. It's the fastest Galaxy ever, so it deserves the fastest and most advanced LTE network. Why wait? Switch today. Only at T-Mobile.
Top 3% of users greater than 30 gigabytes per month may notice reduced speeds. Price includes sales tax.